Hello, welcome back to the Inner Power Podcast. We're on season three. I've been joined today. Anja's away, she's waiting for a parcel. But we're joined by the lovely Claire Freeman from Ziggs Exercise and your local base in Charlton, which is amazing. And today I just I met you at one of the big networking, and yeah, you had such a great energy, Claire. And I thought, said to my wife, we got to get Claire on here. We got to find out a bit more about, you know, the wonderful work that you do. You know,
it's kind of you business. To say. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you pick up on vibes of people, so I think it's nice to share that. And
well, it's that sharing of energy, isn't it?
And
that knocks onto other people, and that's how all this stuff works.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So, Claire, tell us a bit about what you do.
Well, I am the business owner of Ziggs Exercise. So at Ziggs, we are really passionate about supporting people who perhaps have had a bit of a life-changing event that's stopped them from exercising. For some, you know, maybe they've had an injury like backache or hip problems or knee trouble, and they've kind of got stuck in a bit of fear around moving.
Yeah.
For some, it's that they've had a baby and just haven't exercised for a long time, you know, just new mum, maybe struggled with pelvic floor problems, perhaps a single mum. Some have got older children, and then we also, I used to work in falls prevention for Cotswold District Council. So they very kindly, when I was working in that job, sent me on a reps level 4 qualification called Later Life, which was a doctor-led exercise course all around how to prevent falls and improve, you know, when someone's had a fall.
Yeah.
I help others who are sometimes grandparent age and, you know, might have had a diagnosis of osteoporosis, or perhaps someone's blood pressure's gone through the roof, and for medical reasons that they know they need to make a start, but you know, perhaps are feeling a bit uncertain because of whatever it is that stopped them in their tracks. So it's about overcoming that inertia, and just really making a good kickstart.
Wow, I guess like the background you came from as well, like you pretty much said, you can almost give that a little bit extra.
Yes.
You know, advice,
well,
and I have more understanding of it.
Yeah, I've been in this industry now for 27 years.
Wow.
I think most personal trainers last 6 months, they say.
There's a lot of personal trainers about, yes.
Yeah,
bless her.
I'm either doing. You know, I'm either doing okay or I'm really stupid for continuing. I don't know. I've not worked it out yet.
Oh, you're smiling in a way, so.
it's been a journey.
Yeah, do you feel though that it helped that you've, I guess, a bit of a niche within the niche a little bit?
Yeah, so I've worked with business coaches and I think most business coaches these days try to encourage you to find your niche.
Yeah.
Even though we do work with a sort of range of ages, there's certain types of people that work well with us.
Yeah.
Often it's those people who really are in need of that body recovery. I think of what we do as more of a kind of exercise therapy.
I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking, we've had people come through themselves and can't help everyone.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know there's these things.
Yeah.
So like, okay, you need to go down here, basically.
Yeah.
So you're set up, this is such a lovely unit, and I think you said you set this up around COVID, is that right? How did that work out?
Well, we set the virtual.
Yeah, okay. COVID.
A bit
old virtual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously COVID was a bit of a do or die situation.
Yeah.
We either go virtual or we don't have a business. So the actual cabin space was built, I think it was in 2015. My first child was born in 2014. And I was working at the old studio very, very long hours. Mm. We had a membership of 120 people. I was teaching 8 classes of podium pole a week, and lots of other things, yoga, Pilates, suspension strap training, personal training, massage therapy. Mm. But unfortunately, it was just very, very long hours. And I started to feel like a hypocrite in what I was teaching because I was maxed out myself. Yeah. So with the help of some amazing business coaches, we decided to actually close that business. It was a very emotional decision at the time.
It's hard.
But you know, I wanted to bring my children up in an environment where it felt healthy and well for them.
So
we decided to close the business, and then we built this space with the help of the people who, you know, put the construction together. We did hire a digger. I remember having a baby sat on a digger with me to clear the floor.
When you said you hired a digger, I thought someone would come in. You actually digging.
Brilliant. With the help of my dad. And so, yeah, the ground was all flattened here, and then the construction people came in and built this wonderful wooden space. And off we went from there, really, and haven't looked back.
Amazing.
But so, yeah, in the pandemic, obviously it was just virtual. So yeah. I think we lost 40% of our business as we moved into that phase. But I just kind of encouraged people that we were working with. I said, you know, what else are you going to do? I could see what was coming. I'd tapped into people like Michael Mosley and Tim Spector, who, you know, could see what the future was for the next couple of years. So I could see it wasn't going to be just a couple of months thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I just encouraged people to try one virtual session. And if they were not happy with it, then I'd give them a refund. So,
there was
a group of us virtually that kind of stuck together, and people lost weight during that time. And, you know, we kept particularly some of our older members, I believe, quite strong and sane during that time.
I would 100% agree with you. Just from my own experience, I feel that it was tough for everyone. You've afforded it, really. So yeah. I think the fact you've set it up is, for the virtual, it was there. And
And you must have gone virtual.
Yeah, straight away, pretty much. Yeah. It's bonkers. I was talking about it earlier to one of my staff members, but yeah, so same thing, really. It's just had to get on it.
Yeah,
I felt it was a two-way thing anyway. So it was keep in mind sanity in check a little bit. To be fair, but I just caught you got you. So is that part of your YouTube channel that looks so professional? I love it.
Yeah, we do have a YouTube channel. Yeah. So people can find us on there. Ziggs Exercise.
Yeah.
This is a video here of a lady called Janice, who's been amazing to work with. So she was one of the ladies that had been diagnosed with osteoporosis, and she was terrified of hurting herself. She was walking with her stick. She talks about in the video she had 7 fractures in her spine. And every time she tried to exercise by herself, she just kept getting stuck in injury loops. But within the first sort of 3 months of us working together, she started to feel a bit stronger. She started to play with the idea of ditching the stick. We worked on all things to help improve her bone density, the bone loading exercises that I'd learned on the Later Life course when I worked for Cotswold Council. Within about a year, we realised she'd grown an inch in height, whether that was through postural bone density,
no way.
We don't know.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And before Christmas, she walked 10 miles without the stick, so...
Oh my gosh.
She's in a good place, bless her.
It's rewarding. So,
Obviously,
we talked a bit about COVID. So, first of all, like, what really inspired you to get into what you do?
What really inspired me? I think when I look back, I was working in an office job. It was literally a shit job, I'm allowed to swear.
Yeah, quite fun.
because I was talking to people about effluent treatment over the phone.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do. I'd just come out of a pretty horrible relationship, and I was just in that place where I'm like, don't want to do this, don't want to do that. And I didn't know what I actually wanted to do.
Yeah.
But as part of that job, I had a cheap gym membership and went along to some aerobics classes. Really fun, northern, bubbly lady. Hilarious to be in her classes. Great fun. But she inspired me to think, okay, well, maybe I could do that. What she was doing. So I trained as an aerobics teacher back in the early 90s. And then from there, I injured my back quite badly.
Right.
Okay. I had a diving accident. Yeah. So stupidly jumped from the top level 3 of a high diving board. And rather than, Tarzan diving gracefully. Mm. The board hit the back of my heels on a hyperextended back. And yeah. you know that moment where you just know you've done some damage. Yeah. So my husband, who was my boyfriend back then, and two of his drinking buddies hoisted me out of the pool. And they're like, are you okay? Can you walk? And I'm like, actually, no, I can't.
Wow, scary.
Yeah, it was really looking back. And I guess that set off a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thoughts then were, well, what if I can't walk again?
Yeah.
What if I go and see the physio and nothing changes? So I think that was probably, as a young person, my first experience of getting stuck in anxiety loops.
Yeah.
And not understanding quite how that vicious circle of anxiety works.
Yeah.
And that's something that we also talk to people who come and see us on.
Yeah.
So I did the right thing, went to have physio, and he'd say motivational things to me like, oh, you've got sciatica here, as he's manipulating my back. And I'm thinking, well, you know, what do I do? How do I manage that? How do I get that better? So I started to learn more about the rehabilitation exercises. And then he'd be massaging my shoulder and he'd say, actually, you've got a frozen shoulder here. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can't scratch my own itch. But I probably had kept that injury in my body for 20 years without even realising that it was there.
Mm.
And it was only by working with someone more knowledgeable than me that I started to think, oh, okay, well, what could I do? And, you know, so it kind of sent me on a learning journey. So I think what's really important with health and well-being is that we find ways of turning some of those difficult negative situations into positives and learning 100%. Journeys. Because there's so much we don't know.
There is. And I think, yeah, you're right. And you think you got there, and then oh my gosh, what's this? this helps.
They talk about health like unlayering the onion, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So do you think there was like some of these other underlying injuries may have been caused through stress of the job you might be in, or?
I'd actually had an accident when I was a child, and I'd not really kind of joined the dots with it.
Fair enough.
I think that, I mean, yeah, probably there would have been stress there as well.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Yeah.
But that definitely came from a physical injury initially.
Yeah. So I guess sometimes the universe puts us in quite difficult situations to say, this is what you're meant to be doing. That sounds like that was pretty much, you know, where you were at then. So once you got through there, did you find, once you found that way, it shifted that anxiety loop you were in? Like what?
Well, I think because I'd started to go down that career journey of more of a fitnessy career rather than a sedentary office job, I really enjoyed learning about the rehabilitation exercise, and then it led me down the path more of Pilates and yoga. Like when I moved to Gloucestershire, I was training at Chapel Spa. There was a fantastic yoga teacher there, Tina.
Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Oh, gosh, don't know. I've got menopause brain at the moment. That's another journey. Tina and Mitch were business owners there.
Yeah.
I can't remember their surname.
So I was thinking of a Tina. Got her silly, but she's based in Canada now.
That is Tina. Yeah,
she's amazing.
Yeah,
hi Tina.
Yeah,
she was back last year actually. She came on the podcast for an interview. Amazing woman. Yeah,
yeah.
She's had I'm sure she won't mind, but she had some trauma for accident as well.
Okay. So, yeah.
It's a small world after all.
It is in Cheltenham.
Yeah, definitely. Well, she's in Canada now. That's crazy.
Do you know Pete Cohen? I was chatting to him at a conference. Pete.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, he was Chapel Spa before me.
Oh, okay.
And Paul Healy, who runs the Salsa Squad.
Right, okay. Well,
That I met there.
Yeah.
So he would run, I think he was running boxing classes there.
Yeah, okay.
And then started the salsa.
Yeah.
I think recently he's gone back to boxing.
Good place to be.
Yeah. When I moved to Gloucestershire, I was training more in yoga and also doing more of Pilates as well. So then I took the Pilates Institute qualification in London, did more of their courses like Pilates on the ball, postnatal stuff as well with them. And what brought me to Gloucestershire was I decided to do exercise and health science degree. So wrote my dissertation in exercise and mental health, to all the well-being benefits of mind-body exercise.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, so then this is pretty much how it got created.
Yeah, this is the backstory.
That's the backstory. So what I wanted to ask, you might have kind of covered it a bit, but what has really been your biggest challenge to date? How did you overcome it?
Probably biggest challenges have been childbirth.
Yeah.
And journeys with children for sure. And yeah. I think that's one thing that fuels what we do at Ziggs, because we want to support other parents who've had also those tricky times.
Yeah.
And you know, when we're training, like if I'm on my Monday morning one-to-one session, when I'm personal training, one of my ladies, she's got four children. So most of the time they're in school and we're training, but there's always the holidays. We might have a child that's off sick. So, you know, more than happy if she brings a child in, we lay a child down on the couch.
Mm.
They can use the massage gun if they want during that time and just have a nice time. So we try and make what we do as parent friendly as possible.
I think that's really important though, because obviously I'm a parent, so you kind of want the children around that stuff, so even if they're not taking part, they're kind of absorbing something as well.
Totally.
So it will have an impact on wherever
during the holidays, if a mum wants to come in and they're juggling the kids, then I'll gear the session to them, like teaming up, might get them doing a bit of boxing together.
I've seen your punch bag as well.
The hubster uses that whilst I'm omming.
So you've got such a wide range of services that so you can really cater for.
What we do is quite bespoke.
Yeah.
So most people, when they first come in, after we've spoken over the phone to sort of get to know each other, is that they will, we'll do some what we call kickstart consultations. So on those kickstart consultations, I will assess someone's mobility, their flexibility or lack of it. I'll look at their core strength. So, you know, if it's a mum after birth, then we'll maybe have a check for diastasis and things like that. We often have those more deeper conversations around pelvic floor issues. And then from there, once they've done those two kickstart consultations, where we look at the physical side of things, but then we also talk through the mindset side. So the mindset side is very much around thinking about the where we get stuck in the vicious circle and how we can upward spiral our mindset. We look at excuse making, reasons why things aren't happening, and then we look at, well, how can we flip those around to actually use them as a kind of fuel as our reasons why we want to move forwards with our situation. So it's very much the mindset side, the physical side. And also we have quite in-depth conversations around the nutrition and the healthy eating and the eating patterns. Because obviously, you know, we all know if we're trying to drive a car and we've got the wrong fuel in the tank, it ain't going to go very far.
Definitely. And I think obviously mindset's so important. I think that's such a big thing of it, really, because, you know, it's really inevitably what this is.
Yes,
our thoughts will really create our, you know, our outcomes.
Yeah,
because just taking action.
I think, you know, having taught in a lot of gyms and places, you know, over the years, you know, sometimes when people are in those exercise classes, sort of flailing around at the back, not necessarily having those talking conversations.
Yeah.
I think that's part of helping people to really move forwards, is to understanding how they're feeling about their bodies. And actually encouraging them to verbalise it.
It is one of the hardest, as I teach groups, so it's one of the hardest things to, you know, project that, you know, across the meetings are, you know, they are important to have and get to that source, because there's a lot for us, like you said, there's a lot we have to be able to understand about, you know, what is going on in here.
And also I think when people are actually really in their body, they have different conversations with different parts of their body. So, you know, if someone's got a knee issue, the conversation that they have with that knee, like I notice sometimes that when someone's had an accident, sometimes they've almost disconnected themselves from that limb. And the way I coach is to help people to reconnect and retrust parts of their body again.
So in a way, you're coming from a mindset almost like spiritually type way in some respects.
Yeah.
Would you say? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you say, that's just how I see it.
Yeah. I guess there is a spiritual element to what we do.
Yeah. But everything connects, our body, it connects.
Yeah, totally.
We're pushing down there, how we see these things. So,
yes, yeah. And, the knock-on effect of helping somebody with that is that, suddenly they've found some confidence that they can then go back out and socialise again.
Yeah.
So it plays a much bigger part.
Yeah,
in the whole health and well-being spectrum.
I think that's a key word, is confidence as well.
Just
within ourselves, that we can carry on life as how it should be, really. Limitations. And a lot of limitations. There's obviously things that, I guess, limitate us, can physically, but how much is within the mind, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I often think about Usain Bolt.
Yes.
I watched his documentary, and having quite an eye for postural stuff, I looked at his spine and I thought, he's got a scoliosis. And then further down the line in the documentary, he talks about his scoliosis. And then, he's one of the fastest men in the world. But then sometimes I'll have a client and will come and say, I've got scoliosis. And it's like, therefore, I can't do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But it can't be because of the scoliosis, because he is Usain Bolt with the scoliosis. Yeah. He's the fastest person in the world. So it's quite a complex set of issues that we're dealing with.
Wow. So I seen you doing some stuff for Emily's Gift. I can't not shout out Julia after the conversation.
Hi, Julia, hello. If you're watching.
So tell us a bit about that.
I'm involved with Belinda Wilson's CHELP networking group, who meets virtually every 3 weeks. And then once a month, we go to a different business in person. They're coming here, what's the date today? So they're coming here on May the 25th. The last in-person one we did was at the Holiday Express in Cheltenham at the hotel. Julie came to speak about her story of trying to raise, not trying, she's going to do it.
Not trying, do it.
I was thinking, she's trying to raise $500,000. I thought, Julie, wouldn't it be amazing if we got to $1 million? That'd be great.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if she did, to be honest.
Totally, yeah, I've got that faith in Julie.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So she shared part of her difficult story around her children. So Julie's children was touched by cancer years ago. So her message is all about kind of helping other people who are in those difficult situations. Yeah. And obviously Julie is done an amazing job of trying to turn her story into a positive, because as you know, sadly she lost her child when she was young. So we don't actually have a children's cancer psychologist yet at Gloucester Royal.
Yeah.
And I believe out of the 7 hospitals in the southwest that they have one, so it's really well needed.
Yeah.
Just those difficult conversations. When I was talking to Julie about this, it's not just the child that needs to have that person to talk it through with, but also other members of the family. If your brother has suddenly got cancer, how does this work now?
Went to the open night. It was emotional,
because
they got some children come in. So what did you do for the event?
At the event,
did you donate something?
I donated some of my time. I took my massage couch. So I did mini sports massage treatments. The couch is just over there. There's my massage gun.
Oh yeah.
So I went around the room with that, firing it at people, quite a few people jumped on the couch whilst the talk was going on.
It's business, entrepreneurs or business, we'll take that. Queuing up, wouldn't they?
It worked well. New people came to see us as a result and got helped with their aches and pains.
Yeah.
People threw in a donation for the military on the night. So I'm also going to be helping out at the Bodega Fashion Show. That is on the Wednesday the 24th. So that is also at the Holiday Inn Express.
Wow.
and we'll be doing the same there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So look, you look very organised. How do you manage
just
it?
Because
because you obviously you're very active. You've got the well, it sounds like you've got a 9 year old.
I've got an 8 year old due to be 9 in June.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
And Bertie as well.
Yeah.
Age five.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the secret formula, Claire? Because we're all dying to know.
Probably having a team around.
Yeah.
A very supportive, amazing husband who's a wonderful dad.
Oh.
Maxine is our PA at Ziggs, so definitely she's the organised one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. Oh,
that's smart move.
She's also a Pilates teacher and a personal trainer here as well.
Okay.
And then Kellyanne, also a local freelance teacher who teaches our Pilates and yoga here as well. So couldn't do it without them.
No, you always need a winning team.
Yes, totally.
We all need a good winning team.
Yeah.
But it's really inspiring. It's because excuse me, I also met you when we was at the bid. We did axe throwing, right?
We did do axe throwing.
Yeah.
How good was that?
What a great networking event.
Yeah.
I mean, this is brilliant. I like it because you get to, you know, you're not in the same place and you get to meet different people.
Yeah, well, I joined bid because I'd noticed that they were doing discounted first aid courses.
Yeah, so that's really good, by the way.
Geordie Ketley from Middleton Farm, who I network with in Belinda's group, she messaged and said, she'd mentioned that Claire from Tidal Training did these amazing first aid courses. So I said, oh yeah, I need to do one of those, and BID were offering them. So I thought, well, it's a no-brainer for me to join BID, and then, you know, get to meet people like
that's
you.
That's
funny. I do actually. How cool is that?
Yeah, there's some great training programs they put together, so... Yeah, that was a great event. So what, obviously, like I said, it looks and sounds like really busy, which is, it's so nice to see. We talked about COVID and, you know, the troubling times and, you know, the fitness industry, well-being, you know, we was hit a little bit, really, with it. And some didn't quite make it out and some have made it through and some have found a niche. So what have you got, what things, if you want to share them, have you got things coming up that are working on at the moment, where's Ziggs Exercise going?
Yeah, so so at the moment the main offerings at Ziggs are the Pilates yoga classes, the body recovery programs, personal training, and the transformational tribes. We are in the background putting together some one-day wellbeing retreats.
Oh, nice.
When I used to work at Chapel Spa, I used to run these one-day events, which were generally always sold out.
Yeah.
And I think having, you know, people have gone through the pandemic, just doing some of those kind of in-person, total mindset, body reset days are just really important for people.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel it's, we found there's been quite a big need for it. And even at the centre, you know, I've always had the wellbeing there, but we've just transitioned much more of that and, you know, just offering different things, I guess, and that's a whole story. But yeah, I think the one-day retreats. I'm smiling. They sound amazing.
Yeah.
Because people need it right now. And the world's just been, it's like it got shook and someone's still shaking it.
Well, I think during COVID, habits changed a lot. And new habits, or getting back into old good habits, is still part of what people are processing and going through.
Yeah.
I'm still talking to people who were saying, you know, oh, I was doing this training and that training before the pandemic, and I've just not kind of got back into anything yet. And actually, the training is as big a part of people's social life as it is their physical body. It's those connections and people that you meet there that actually keeps us really sane.
It is. Because we need the social, physical, and emotional.
Yeah.
They all link into it.
Totally.
Deep, meaningful way, but really.
So
it sounds like you've got lots still.
I'm just, you know, in whatever form we can support people, then we're willing to test things out and give things a go. I've got a bigger vision of, I'd like to run a retreat in Italy. I got married in Italy.
So
I know Lake Garda area really well. I know the venue I want to do it at. But yeah, it's something that I'd like to do.
Yeah.
Take a group of people with me. Yeah.
I know a few kind of doing that, and I think that's just nice. I think it's, with a retreat, it's good to get away for one.
Yeah, it's the headspace.
Yeah. Yeah, and just even, you know, we had our honeymoon, so we did do a little bit of work, that's another story, because that's just how we are, but we actually found it did give us that bit of space to think. You know,
it's the focus, and I think the energy is different when you're out of your normal space. Just, I mean, even if a retreat is like for half a day, just being in that different energy, I believe, makes people see things quite differently, particularly if they're quite stressed and you know, they're in that overwhelmed place.
Yeah,
just that step out, can, it's almost like you can take a bird's eye view of your life rather than just being totally in the thick of it. Years ago, I mean, I've done quite a lot of retreats over my time. I've got friends who've done like silent retreats in caves and you know, no noise or no light, or one where it's just voices in the dark.
Wow.
Yeah. I've not done that one yet.
It's got resonating with it.
Yeah. I'd rather go on some nice fluffy yoga pilates.
Yeah, definitely.
But I did go to Kung Fu school with Gaz.
I remember you telling me about this.
This was part of our honeymoon, actually. So that was an experience. It was sort of like being on some, I don't know, Eastern boys boxing camp that I couldn't get away from. Oh. But I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
I think it's important to have the balance of things. So something like that is good to kind of just blast out. But I also, you know, through meditation, then I need to, like, me just bring that calm back down.
One of the best things about the that Shaolin experience was the Tai Chi.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. When I used to work for Cotswold District Council in Falls Prevention, I did a training course with White Lotus. So I was teaching Tai Chi as part of that job role. But that was the one thing I looked forward to every day at Kung Fu school, was just that kind of mindful form. Everyone just really chilled, really calm.
Yeah.
And it was just, the highlight of the day.
Yeah.
Apart from a little sleep, actually, at lunchtime. The training was so intense.
Siesta time.
So, yeah. You
have to go have a nap. Oh, but that's good. So I guess it really sounds like you incorporate a lot of all these different things into, like you said, you can kind of bespoke it to the individual. And
We do. Needs, we don't say that we teach like one type of exercise, because I believe that there's different types of exercises that are relevant through different phases of people's lives. And there's no one thing that ever fixes an issue. I'm sure people can get quick change sometimes, but a lot of stuff is about those gradual changes in habits more than anything.
100%. Everyone's different. At the end of the day, like someone described it really, I know we may or may not have doctorates, I don't know, I'm assuming, but pretty much like a doctor in the sense that someone's got this, so we have to find out, well, this is the problem. They may already know what it is, but this is the way, you know,
but I think sometimes people will go down a medical route and feel I don't want to knock medicine at all. I think it's really important that people do get the right support and have those conversations with their doctor.
Yeah,
I think actually sometimes people who work with me, I'll encourage them to go and have those conversations, because we've got that relationship together. They'll confide things in me from a health point of view. I'll say, really, you know, you need to go and talk to your GP. And it might take 3 months to get to that point where they actually go and have that conversation. So I do think that's really important. But then I also think that sometimes when people have done everything they can, possibly medically, to then explore more of an holistic approach and explore other avenues can also be really game-changing as well. And there's lots of things that aren't offered on the NHS. You know, there's only so much resources that they've got.
There's only so much resources, even stuff what's in this country might be different somewhere else, but I agree. And as I got more into, you know, my own experiences in life, I feel that there's a lot you can get holistically, I would say, and just sometimes,
I think particularly for some of our older adults in our community, I think perhaps some of our younger people might be more open to kind of going to young people's gyms and you know, socialising. That can be a big part of social life as well as you know, training physically and mentally. But I think some of our older communities, like, well, where do I go? You know, they don't necessarily want to go to a young person's gym full of fit young people. They need their own little niche. And I guess that's where people like us
come. I think it's so important. I love it. Absolutely love it. So, oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's good to chat.
So how do people get a hold of you? How do they get in touch?
So they can go to our website, zigsexercise.co.uk, and drop us a message there. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Networking.
Out and about. Ring the doorbell. Drop me a text.
No, brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been really insightful, and I think I'll probably get you on again with Angie and have a talk about mindset or different things, because I find it so interesting. I know with the listeners and viewers, again, it's things that people really want
to. I think the biggest mindset piece is to just keep having that vision of the next thing, and to find a way out of those difficult loops that we often get stuck in. And sometimes just by, you know, having a simple conversation with someone, that is all that's needed to shift the inertia of it.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right.
Thank you for listening and watching. And obviously, drop us a 5-star review. It just goes without saying, and leave a review for both. Why not? Peace, love. Bye-bye.